Hi, you're now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. We're happy to bring you sermons like this one every week. You can find other sermons at our site at harvest-community.org. So without further ado, here's our speaker.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Peter. I'm the youth director here. It is my honor and my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker. His name is Scott Grzak. For those of you who don't know, Scott has been intertwined with Harvest for over two decades. And we appreciate your partnership and just being able to do life and ministry beside you. For those of you who don't know, Scott has been in various different types of ministry. Him and his wife, Jenny, and their five kids. They live in the west side of Chicago. And he's known Pastor Dave for over 20 years. And through that friendship, a true partnership in ministry has evolved out of that. And so, you know, Harvest has been around for 30 years. Scott, thankfully, has been a part of our story for a big portion of that. So if you guys can just give a big Harvest round of applause for our man, Pastor Scott.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Of course.
Man, God bless. Great, God bless. Hey, do I have something to advance? Is that up there?
Do we have a clicker up there? It should be
on. Man, I was going to get up here. It's up there. Great. Perfect. I can't. That's not my style. I got to get in here. I got to see some faces. Can you guys see my face? Is that okay? 20 years it's been since I have been walking life with Dave, your pastor, and just been a privilege to know and to be a part of. Y'all don't know this, but y'all have been such a blessing in my life and my wife's life and in our ministry. And there is no light up here, but that's all right. We're gonna do it. I just wanted to catch you up. Anybody around here when Grip Outreach for Youth was really partnered with you guys? Can I just see a couple of hands, like Pastor Peter? Hey, hands up! Come on, hands up! Let's go! Okay, good. I see that, right? And by the way, did you see Dave in that video? Like when he was that pie in the face? He was just like, I'm not gonna take it. Come on! Give me that pie in the face. I love the passion here at Harvest. You guys have been family, and I wanted to share this picture with you. That's my wife, Jenny, in the middle there. She's over here, and our five kids. I have one at college. She'll be a junior at Taylor University, and the rest of I have five teens or four teens. You throw their friends in the package, and all of a sudden, you got a lot of energy in the house all the time. And my wife has homeschooled them on the west side of Chicago. By God's grace, we have a great community there. And I wanted to show these other two pictures because this is a testament of Harvest Community's partnership, the koinonia that we've had over the years. These are my sons in Christ, by God's grace. And I just throw this up there as a testimony to God's faithfulness in life-on-life discipleship. So that's my son Jamil. I met him when he was 17 on the left-hand side. On my left hand, your right hand side, and then on your left hand side, you see Frankie. And anybody remember Frankie? Hey, right? My other son in Christ, Frankie, ended up, if you met these kids when they were 17 and 15, like, wow, you would have never thought that Frankie would come and grow up to be a pastor, get married, have five kids of his own. He went off to Iraq as a missionary. Many of you supported him. This church fueled him. And so someday, now he's back in Florida now, planting church. And doing house church model, and it's really rich. And in fact, when I meet up with Frankie, he ministers to me now. It's really cool. But God put me in their lives so many years ago. And so when you guys are in heaven, you're going to be meeting people, Abdul in particular, and many other people that met Jesus because of your faithfulness and fueling the team that went over to share the gospel and plant the church there. So thank you guys for your faithfulness. I'm sorry, that did not go well. That needs to go backwards. There we go. No, okay. Can you throw up the slide? Since that time, my season with Grip Outreach for Youth ended in 2021, and you're not supposed to be seeing all of this right now, but at that time, I started getting phone calls from board members and from leaders of Christian ministries, and they started asking me a bunch of questions. How did you do this, and how did you do that, and life-on-life discipleship? We're doing mentorship, but how do you do life-on-life discipleship outside the walls of a program? And so it was a real joy to be able to take some of those calls because I was like, oh, yeah, I screwed that up many times. And oh, we've seen some fruit over here. And so before you know it, God started to give me a passion or a calling to launch a little big ministry called Gnosko Leadership Ministries with a twofold mission. The first one is to walk alongside of under-resourced, overwhelmed, typically urban, socioeconomic challenged ministry leaders. And they're isolated, alone many times, and they don't have all the resources at their beck and call. Oftentimes, leaders like that are in their fiscal year, their next fiscal year, and they still don't have a budget figured out or goals figured out. And so that's kind of something I can help with. I've identified 14 areas that a pastor or an executive director would want to care for in a Christian ministry. But on the other side of that, the second part of that is I just look forward to walking with them and to encourage them to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. We've seen so many leaders of these mega churches fall. And so nobody is too far from that. And so in the urban context, a lot of these young ladies and these young men are running from fire to fire to fire, and their time with Jesus gets just sapped and taken away from them too many times. And before you know it, they're leaning on empty. And so I like to come alongside of them and ask that question that is probably the most offensive question in all of church. How are you doing with Jesus? It's really offensive, right? How are you doing with Jesus? See, it's cool if you're long college friends or if you've been walking life with somebody for a long time to be like, hey, Ed and Sandy, right? They're in Rhode Island, right? Hey, Ed and Sandy, how are you guys doing? That makes people feel loved. But when you go, hey, you and Jesus, how are you guys doing? That's a little, hey, is this a test? And so that's a question. If you can go to the next slide. That I've been able to also walk alongside with and cast out to some of the Windy City Bull players. A couple years ago, as we were launching Gnosko, the CFO of the Bulls asked if I would chaplain. And so, yeah, so here we are on the left, on your left is David Muoka, who just passed up Jenny in height. And you can see he's over there. And then this is Billy BD3, he was the coach's son, and he was the coach of the Windy City Bulls, 30-year-old man. And I had the privilege, like, what would a crusty old white guy like me have in common, right, to chaplain the Windy City Bulls, right, or, you know, the NBA players. And so I was able to go and just share a little bit of my testimony. My dad leaving when I was 4, and then I was really angry about that, and I was searching for my identity and purpose. And by the age of 11, I found pornography, and I can access it for 2 hours a night at the time. This was the 70s. This is old school. In 10 seconds, I became addicted, and that led me down a road of lust and addiction. And I was seeking power and money and corporate success so I can fuel this lust addiction. And then I met Jesus when I was 28, and he flipped everything upside down by God's grace. And that picture that you saw of my family wouldn't exist without the power and the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior. And so I have tasted and seen the dark side. And so I was able to share that with the team. And after that meeting, Billy came up to me and said, "Hey, yo, do you mind if I give you a call?" Right? I really resonated with some of the things that you shared. And I said, "Yeah, sure." I said, "Hey, by the way, what's your faith background?" He said, "I'm a devout Catholic." I said, "Oh, that's cool. How about prayer? Like, what is prayer like? Do you pray?" And he's like, not so much. And I said, "Well, how about the Bible? Have you ever read a book of the Bible?" And he's like, not so much. And I said, "Well, great. Well, would you be willing to, like, for us to chop it up and go through, like, the Gospel of John together?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Whoa." And so, man, over the course of the past 2 years, I've never met a man hungrier for the Word of God. We went line by line, word by word through the Gospel of John. And God was just showing me new things. And it was awesome. And he's praying with his children every night now and his wife. And he's reading still. I just touched base with him a couple of days ago. And he's still in the Word of God. He's in Mark now. And so it's been a joy to be able to walk. Now, the investment is this. I didn't seek to be the chaplain, but the investment is this before the Lord. Lord, you want me to do this? And he's like, yes. And he introduced me to this young man. And this young man is only 31, 32 years old. He's got a wife and two baby girls, really small. And he's one of those guys that's one of those men that have this gift when they look at you. It's if you're the only person in the world at that moment. You know those people? When they look at you and speak to you and listen to you, like everything else doesn't matter. He's got that gift, that charisma, and he's a coach. And so that orange ball in the NBA, believe me, is an idol. Everybody, that's their God. It's really hard to live out the gospel and live out this Christian journey. But this man, over the next 3 decades, my hope and prayer is, and you can pray for BD3. We call him BD3, Billy Donovan III, right? BD3. You can pray for him. Because my hope is that he would coach dozens, if not hundreds, and speak to thousands of young men to disciple them and walk them and use that orange ball to introduce them to Jesus. And so what a privilege it's been. And so the next slide. And so here's, you guys know this guy? No, I'm serious. Do you know who this is? You all are young. Who's this?
MJ.
MJ, right? Well, do you know him? Not personally, right? Good answer, right? When the visiting teams would come all, from all over the country, I'd have 5 to 10 minutes with them to pray with them before the games. And I'd be like, hey, and they see this old crusty white guy, you know, and they're like, oh, I got to meet with this guy. But I'm telling you, because of the orange ball is God, when they came, they were ready to hear something. And they're like, please, man, the road has been tough. From city to city to city, hotel room to hotel room. So I would say, hey, welcome to Chicago. You know, we do it a little different. Do you know Michael Jordan? And they're, come on, old crusty white guy. Of course we know Michael Jordan. He's the GOAT, right? And I said, but do you know Michael Jordan? And I'm just telling you, church, you're a church that I love. God is not interested, young people. Little homies, God is not interested in you knowing about him. He's not interested in that. He's like, he's had enough of that. He wants you to know that you know that you know. He wants you to taste and see how good he is. Why am I sharing this with you? I just heard Barna speak, Barna Consulting Group. Of the 80% of the people in America that say that there's some kind of God out there, 50% claim Christianity. Do you know how many have a biblical worldview? Simple things, 7 tenets. Things like, this is inerrant, the Word of God. Things like, there's one God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the 3-in-1, the triune God. 7 tenets, 4%. Of our country right now has a biblical worldview. 4%. And guess what? It's shaped, the numbers say it's shaped by the age of 13. Who's older than 13? Lots of you. I got saved when I was 28, so I'm an outlier. You can be an outlier too. And guess what? Discipleship, people that actually read this every day and try to follow it and live it out, 4%. 4%. This breaks my heart. 4% of us. And so, oh, there it is. 4% follow Jesus, and we're supposed to be, if you're a disciple, now some of you may be, well, that's not me. That's not Harvest. Can I insult you guys? Can I make you angry? How many of you this past week shared the gospel with somebody that had no idea who Jesus was? It was a walking dead person. And how many times this past week? How many times this past year? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Well, if you're a disciple of Jesus, how many people right now are you making a disciple of right now? How many people are you walking outside of this church, outside the walls of this church, to say, come follow me like Jesus did? That don't have your last name. Because we need to disciple our babies, for sure, and our young folks that are in our household. But that's not all we were called to. How did Jesus do it? Jesus said this in John 10. He said it again in all throughout the Gospel of John. He said, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And he wasn't talking about, I know about God, and I know about, and God knows about me. No, he was, I ginosko the Father, and the Father ginoskos me. This is not head knowledge. This is not we know calculus. And you know Michael Jordan. I've seen him play. I know a little bit about him. This is a deep-seated, intimate, experiential relationship knowledge. This is the same word that the Greeks used for sexual intercourse, hopefully between a husband and a wife. The two would come together and know. They said, Mary knew Joseph not. I mean, before Jesus was born. In other words, Joseph and Mary didn't have sex before Jesus was born. They didn't know each other in a physical sense. And so this is a very deep intimacy. In fact, it's a call to ongoing intimacy. This is not a one and done. Yeah, when I was 12, I gave my life to the... Yeah, when I was 14, I said the prayer. Yeah, when I was in college, I said the prayer. Yeah, Jesus is my Savior. Put him in my back pocket. Now I get to seek the comforts of the world. I show up to church. I do the small group. Check, check. Might do some reading in the morning. Check, check, check. But have you tasted and seen how good God is? Do you know that you know him? How did Jesus do it? If we're disciples of Jesus, aren't we supposed to do it like he did it? Can I get an amen? Woo! Sorry, I'm just going to... If you took Jesus for his words, he walked around and he did some pretty amazing things, right? Check this out. In John 5, he said, the Son can't do anything on his own accord, only what he sees the Father doing. John 5:28, I nothing on my own authority. I can't do anything on my own authority. I only speak what I hear from the Father. John 5:29, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. I can do nothing on my own. I seek not my own will. You guys see a pattern here? But the will of him who sent me. John 5:43, I can do nothing on my own. Man, if you didn't know Jesus, you'd be like, man, this dude's useless. That's not what he's saying. I can't do anything on my own. I seek not my own will, but Abba's. John 6, for I have not come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. My teaching, not my own, John 7, but his who sent me. John 8, I declare to the world what I have heard from the Father. He ended his public ministry in John 12, and he said this, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me himself has given me a command what to say and what to speak. What to say and what to speak. This is Jesus. All of the things that he did, all the places that he went, all of the miracles, all of the works, all of the people he just came up and touched. Ordered from the Father. You know that woman at the well in Samaria? Jews didn't go to Samaria. They walked around it to go up north. And it says in the scriptures, if you see the text, Jesus had to go and meet that woman at the well. It's the only thing we know that he did in Samaria was meet that woman at the well. He had to. Why? Because of dad. Because the Father knows me, and I know the Father. In fact, he said, me and the Father are one. And you're like, yeah, but that's the Son of God. I don't hear from God like that. I don't hear from him like that. Oh, man, let me tell you. Jesus was at this party. He was at a party with the Pharisees, right? And he was lounging at the table. One of the Pharisees was there. And he saw them come in and sitting at all the choice spots. And he's like, hey, look, you know, when you throw a party, you shouldn't invite the people that can do something for you. It's political. It's an agenda. He said, you should invite the sick, the lame, the blind, the people that are the least of these. And this Pharisee sat back and he was kind of flexing. Right? He was kind of, blessed are those that will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. He elevated himself. He assumed that he was going to be, he was a religious expert. He was us. Jesus was so fast. He's like, oh, let me tell you about the man who threw a great banquet. A great, great banquet. Let me tell you, banquets in the day, like, they could last all night, right? And a wedding banquet, that could last all week, but a great, great banquet from a rich dude, this consisted of typically a spread in a huge hall in some rich man's house in an open courtroom, and the spread of food, oh my gosh, what's your favorite? Is it a ribeye steak? I don't know, how about those Alaskan King crab legs from Joe's downtown? Did you guys know? No, nobody know what I'm talking about? Anyone? The whole spread is there, the lamb chops, the everything, right? I don't know if it's, is it cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory or Costco? I don't know what's of it, but it's all there, lush. And there's entertainment. And there could be singing and dancing. You get the picture. People are lounging, and guess what they're doing? They're talking to one another across these tables. It's an honor to go there. These things are super expensive, and they could last for days. People drinking wine, and by the way, how you doing, brother? What's going on with your family? Oh, how's the business? And this is the kind of conversation that would take place amongst the elite. And so this man threw a great banquet, and when it was ready, he said to the servants, okay, go out and tell them to come, all that I have invited. I didn't invite everyone. I've invited some people. Tell them to come. And so then the servant went out. Y'all know what happened. Y'all read this parable? This is from Luke 14. All of the people that he invited, one after the other, started to make excuses. Hey, I just bought some land. I got to go check it out, right? In modern day equivalent of that is, hey, I just bought a business. We just sold on the house. I got to go take care of this blessing from God. The next person was like, oh, yeah, man, I just got 5 new oxen, right? None of us are farmers, so we don't really know the value of that. But in that day, man, that's like saying, hey, man, I just been given a new project at the company to input the new AI system. I'm the man. I got to take care. I'm super busy. I'm leading the team. Or in ministry, like, hey, just launching this new ministry. I got to go. I don't have time for that. We're church planning. We're getting it done, and so would you please have me excused? And so the second person was rejected the invitation. The third person that was asked, hey, I just got married. I can't make it. I'm busy, right? I just got married. The modern day equivalent, do you know what that is? I just got married. How many folks have you talked to? And you've said it when you meet somebody, you're catching up. Hey, how are you guys doing? It's a busy, what? It's a busy season. It's really busy. We got the kids' activities. The club sports. Oh, man, the weekends. We got to go here and there. Man, we got to take care of our aging parents, man. It's a busy season, right? In other words, like, hey, when this settles down, yeah, then I'll come, right? Have you said that? Have you ever said those words? Man, it's super. Have you ever met somebody that's like, hey, how you doing? Ah, man, it's great, man. Me and my wife, we watch the grass grow at the house. Yeah, nothing much to do, right? And there's World Cup going on. There's all these distractions, these phones, right? We got Netflix. We got to watch, what is it, Mr. Sunshine, that series? Like, oh, man. Our Korean friend, you know, gave us this great drama. My wife and I couldn't turn it off. We're like, oh, my gosh, the next one. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that's okay. We're okay. We'll just make up our sleep later, right? But here's the deal. How do you think the master felt when the servants came back and said, they rejected your offer? They rejected your offer. They were too busy, too important. They put the gifts of God. Are those things bad things? A new business, a new house? It's a blessing, right? The AI team, project manager? Let's go. Children, they're a blessing. You got to take care of them. Let's get them to some activity. Those are good things. Good things. But they're gifts from God. And we pass up the gifts. I'm sorry. We seek the gifts. And we pass up the gift giver. We worship the created and not the creator. Do an audit. How much time did you spend sitting at the banquet table with God? Just this week. Last week. And we see all these people that have been walking with Jesus and powerful teachers falling one by one. God's like, come. I love you. Come and sit. Sit at my table. Man, Psalm 23. You all have, some of you have this thing memorized back and forth and know, right? This is the Father that's like, come. Man, let's get you by the still water. Then I'll give you rest. I will fill your soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because Dad's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He's a protector and a discipliner. It's Dad. But check out what he says next. This is God. Our God. David writes, oh, he has set a table. He has prepared a table for me, a banquet table, even in the presence of our enemies, your enemy. And he anoints my head with oil. Y'all don't know what that is, but in the day, man, this is the thing. It's preserving. It's lush. It's rich. It's nourishment. My cup overflows into the lives around me. The invitation, do you guys hear it? Would you come to the great banquet? Would you come and sit with me? Would you quiet your hearts and sit with me? Because I love you, and I want the best for you. I'm a good father, and I have good things to give. By the way, I am the best thing for you. That my joy would be in you, and that your joy would be full and running over to the people around you. Oh, church, how many of us are having, we're anxious. We're hanging on to bitterness. Some of us are depressed. This is after the cross. We weren't saved for this. And we're hurting. Feelings of betrayal. We've got childhood trauma that we haven't dealt with. And we got hurts and pains that cause us to self-preserve and be selfish instead of giving. Most importantly, we're not sitting at the table to receive, because we can't give away what we don't receive. It's from God. He's like, hey, I'm here. So every morning when you wake up, God's like, the table's set for you. Would you come and sit with me? Would you come and meditate on my word with me? Would you talk? Would you chop it up? Could we laugh together and cry together? Could we mourn together? Could we do that? I'm your dad. I love you. Oh, you angry, upset that it didn't go your way? Come on, bring it. I'm a big God. That's what David did. Most of the Psalms were like, God, where are you? Right? God's big. He loves you. He's like, come on, bring that. Bring it to the table with me. Let's chop it up. Because he longs for you to know him. He knows you. He longs for you to gnosko him. Intimacy with him. Ongoing. Daily. This is daily bread. Isn't that funny that the people in the story passed up Jesus, the Pharisee at the table? He had no relationship with the living God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't this what Jesus said when he fed the 5,000 on the hill? Do you all remember that? John 6, Jesus, break, what, 5 and 2? You guys remember the story? Help me out here, amen? What did Jesus do? He fed the 5,000, 20,000 people, probably men, women, children. And then he crossed over the sea the next day, and they followed him. And they said, oh, are you sure you're the Messiah? Are you sure you're the one? Show us more stuff. And Jesus was like, man, you don't want me, you want my stuff. This has been going on for centuries, for the ages. This is our sin issue. You want your stuff. You want the stuff that I provide that's good, but you get me. You're missing it. You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Sit at the table with me and let's feast. This is the offer. How many of us, man, when we wake up in the morning and we'll do our 15, oh, we'll do our little devotion, we'll do our little reading, and we're off running. But you haven't gotten your fill. Is it boiling? Is it overflowing from us? Like, I can't wait to share with Jen what God just showed me, and we're mixing it up, and man, the thanksgiving that flows from that. Do you know when you're thankful and you're full of God's glory in your heart and mind? Do you know that there's no room for anxiety? There's no room for discouragement, disappointment. There's no room for any of that because you're full. This is what God longs for us. Would you come and sit? Would you take the time? Instead, what we do is we do fast food Jesus on the go. Little bit here, get those calories, the ones that are not nourishment. Hey, what did you read today? Oh, I don't know, our small groups in 2 Peter. What do you have for me today to encourage a brother? What's overflowing from you because you're like, oh, God filled me up with this truth that he longs for me to ginosko him. Why? Because he's crazy about me. God loves me. Do you know that we cannot go on mission before your identity is rooted? It's always identity before mission. Always. Always. You have to know how loved you are. I'm not worthy to be loved. How many of us have that feeling? Scott, I don't feel God's presence. Would you try him? Would you taste and see how good he is? Would you sit with open hands and not think about your daily agenda? Get through the Bible study. Got it. Check. Let's go. He doesn't want that for you. He wants that word in you because he's alive. He wants to feed you. He wants you to feast on him. Will you come sit at the banquet table? Now, look, some of you are like, man, me, that's what I do. That looks like my day. Because then Jesus gets up and he walks from the table, right? And he goes, and Jesus and God are in constant contact. They're one, wherever he went. Guess what God wants for us? Constant contact. By the way, we should make a software named Constant Contact. Right? That was for Karen Kim. She's worked some constant contact for us at GRIP. Constant communion, constant dialogue. Where to go, what to say. It all starts, though, you cannot do ministry if you don't know how much God loves you. Sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? It's kind of strange, right? But it ain't about you, it's about our God and his love for you. That you would know the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, that you would... This is why Paul prays this for the church before he gives the instruction for how to do the walk. He's like, this is my prayer, that God would strengthen you with power in your inner being through his Spirit. That you'd be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. That you would comprehend and know how much he loves you. The breadth, the length, the depth, the height, man, you swim in a sea of love, but we pass it up. We don't sit at the table and receive that from the Lord. And we're kind of like sheep. We will run on empty. And so if you've been striving with the Lord and you're like, yes, Scott, this is what I do, stop judging me. It's okay, man. Just keep going. Encourage your brothers and sisters. But if you're like, hey, I've been walking in church for a long time. I do the Bible study, but I don't feel God like that. I feel far. I don't feel him near. That's okay. That's a great, great conversation to have with Dad. You know why? Because he not only wants you to just like this word, ginosko, like this intimacy, ongoing relationship with him, experiencing him. He wants you to be one with him. Jesus said this, right? Me and the Father, I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Guess what? Now we're in you. Through faith in me, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit so that now we can be one. God wants us walking in oneness with him. Why? Because he loves us and you know this is going to be the greatest thing for you is to know how much he loves you and to know his glory. Would you taste and see? Because he's got mission for us. And I don't have time to share about that. I'd love to. The mysteries of God revealed to his church body about his plans. He's got great plans for you. So would you hear this? Would you just close your eyes? We'll close with this. This is God speaking now. This is prophetic words from him to you. Come. Come. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he has no money. Come, buy, and eat. Come by wine and milk without money and without price. It's free. His love, his peace, his joy, that your cup would runneth over into the lives around you. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? I'm the bread of life. And your labor for that which is not does not satisfy. I satisfy your soul. Listen diligently. Wait a minute, we got to listen? We got to stop and settle down our hearts, put down the phones, turn off the ringers? We have to listen? But for how long, Lord? Listen. Listen diligently with everything you have. Diligently with everything you have in your being. I want you to love me with your all. Listen diligent and eat what is good. And delight yourselves with rich, rich food. Incline your ear. Wait a minute, you want me to listen again? Sit and listen. I love you. I love you. I love you. It doesn't matter. There is no guilt and there is no shame at my table. None. I already know it all. You can't hide it from me. You weren't built for shame and guilt and anxiety and discouragement and sin. Sin confess, sin confess, sin confess. Come and sit with me. Do you hear the invitation? Hear that your soul may live. Father God, you're a good father. What an invitation. Lord, I can remember, Lord, having my little children, my little shorties, run up to me when I got home from work and they'd jump in my lap and they'd be like, Daddy, talk to me, tell me something. How sweet that was, that season for a father. And Lord, this is what you beckon from us. This is what you offer us. This is what you're inviting us to, this banquet table, so that we can be like, Daddy, would you tell us about life? Would you tell us about wisdom? Would you fill me up with your joy because I'm hurting? Dad's like, yes. Father, you are always like, yes, I will heal you. I will touch that area of your memory and your heart, and I will bring healing. Father God, thank you for this. And so, Lord, would we have ears to hear? Would we have eyes to see how good you are? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I know we're going to sing now. And I pray that you just let it out to the Lord. Young people, nobody watching you. You ain't too cool to belt out to the Lord. Old people, we need to hear you. But I would offer this. If you want prayer, and if you would give me the privilege to pray for anyone that longs for prayer, my wife and I would love to do that with you after service. God bless you.
Oh, man. What a privilege it is today to be before you. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, Lord. Oh, thank you so much, Lord, that you haven't left us here, Father God, to do this journey on our own. And you long for us to know that we have been chosen, holy. We're seen by you as holy and beloved. We've been chosen, adopted as sons and daughters into your family. That's how much you love us. You redeemed us, Father. Thank you. You have forgiven us, Father. Thank you. And you have given us this gift of your Spirit within us. And you have given us the gift of all the spiritual blessings that are in the heavenlies, Father God. Would we know this? Because we know you. Father God, would we know how much you love us? Could we rest in that, Lord? And so, Lord, would we just receive that you anoint our heads with oil? You're the one that fills up our cup, Father God. And so, Lord, would we just receive this from you? Father God, thank you so much for being such a good dad. Lord, would you show up and show out in each of the people's lives here, Father? Would you do that? Would you show us your glory? And would you so go and bear fruit in and through us for more of your praise and glory? Build your church here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.